Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, in about 10 minutes.
Swagoo!
The Big Swagoo, co-host of Swagoo and Pert, wherever you get the podcast as well. And Ray McLeod, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Team that right now has been defiant in the face of some long odds heading into wild card weekend. We'll also get to more of your calls on who your wild card is heading into this weekend. We've heard about a lot of the big name players, but who's the player on your team, the coach on your team, that might affect the outcome that we're not talking enough about? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And, Chris, we know a lot of this weekend is going to just be about that. The P word starts to come out. Everyone wants to talk about who's under the most pressure. And while I feel like at times, as a sports talk take industry, we maybe go a little overboard with it, I feel just as much that a lot of athletes will go out of their own way to kind of deny the existence of all of that. Like, case in point, Dak Prescott, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, has had to hear it from his own owner in Jerry Jones in that Dallas Cowboys building, and yet he still comes out defiantly so, talking about how he embraces the extra pressure that's being thrown his way.
I mean, I do what I normally do. I don't know necessarily why people have labeled the word pressure as such a bad thing, honestly. I think it creates high expectations and high standards, and that usually creates high results. So for me, it's just about being who I am, staying true to that, knowing who I am, preparing the same way that I have and that I do, trusting the people around me, trusting the play callers and my preparation, and then just going out there and playing the game that I love without any hesitation.
And Chris, I get the assessment, but it still sounds like everyone in these spots goes out of their way to dismiss the idea that pressure is something that needs to be factored in.
No, I hear where you're coming from, but when Dak Prescott specifically, like, I actually agree with what he was saying. Pressure is a privilege, and the Dallas Cowboys have worked all year long to get to this point where they realize they can compete for a championship. Jerry Jones let it be known before the season even started, even going back to Hard Knocks, like, there are championship aspirations for this team, and you heard it earlier in his interview with The Athletic this week. Unquestionably, it is championship or bust for them, and Dak Prescott is just reiterating that point. Now, I get how it may come off a little bit dismissive in terms of his tone, but when you consider all the things that Dak Prescott has been through and then all the things you hear about him in terms of how he's been a steady hand and how he's always a cool, calm, and collected individual, I think the Dallas Cowboys can feel good about the leadership that they're going to have on the field. The biggest question that I have for him going into this playoffs and Super Wild Card weekend in particular is the leadership on the sideline, because in this matchup between the 49ers and the Cowboys, the guy that's wearing the headset for San Francisco is clearly better than the guy that's wearing it for Dallas. And that's where I think the Cowboys can get themselves in a little bit of trouble in terms of overall game management, the management of timeouts, the clock, situational football, and then from an X's and O's standpoint, making sure that all of those units are complementary. That's my biggest concern with the Dallas Cowboys going into this game against the 49ers.
Chris, I'm trying to think of a head coach who's won a Super Bowl who we are all collectively more dismissive of than Mike McCarthy. Like, he was a part of that, and so many people I know are going to attribute that to Aaron Rodgers, but the fall from grace was so severe on the way out of Green Bay, and his whole revival back to getting this job in Dallas was about that sleepover with Jerry Jones, where he's talking about analytics and all these things he spent time worrying about, like, stuff that we have not really seen borne out. So maybe it's just that, Chris, like, we don't feel like Mike McCarthy's changed meaningfully in any way from the guy that we saw at the end of that Green Bay tenure. And we know this is a largely different league than the one he won in before, in the way that people approach, especially the offensive side of the football that he calls home.
Well, Gojo, here's the thing. And for whatever reason, I can't get this one play or sequence out of my mind. It was at the end of the third quarter in the Arizona game where Arizona lines up in this funky formation before they line up to kick a field goal, and Mike McCarthy panics and calls a timeout. They end up kicking a field goal anyway, and then in the fourth quarter at the end of the game when you're fighting to try to get the ball back, Chase Edmonds actually fumbles the ball or appears to have fumbled the ball, and you can't challenge the play because it's on the other side of the two-minute warning, and it requires you to have a coach's challenge. So that's the part that seems weird to me. Like, in those situations, you could have used that timeout. You realize they probably weren't going to run a play with Matt Prater lined up out wide at wide. So I don't understand those types of things, and yet they routinely pop up when it comes to Mike McCarthy. So I hear what you're saying, and we do have to give him credit for the chip that he won in Green Bay. But at the same time, you can get to a point where some of the game might have evolved past where you were at in terms of your overall skill set and your strength. So I'm not quite sure that's the case with McCarthy, but he's clearly under the most pressure when we start talking about the people in the Dallas Cowboys camp.
Yep, because when you want to talk about someone who's got next, he only has to look so far as Kellen Moore in his own building, a guy who Jerry Jones likes a lot. And I have a feeling, even though Kellen has had some of his own blemishes this season as far as games that have been not called in the best manner, I still think that's a guy that Jerry Jones is going to be hard-pressed to let leave the building if things should go wrong this weekend. Now, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We asked for your wild card player heading into the game this weekend. Let's get one for this game here. Let's go to Chris in New Jersey. Chris, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Who's your wild card for this one?
Hey, guys, love the show. Listen, every single day, the absolute biggest wild card player of the weekend is Greg Zuerlein. Mm. He's been so hit or miss in key moments with extra points and missed field goals that this game is going to be super tight, and he could absolutely change the difference of the outcome.
It's a great call on that one, Chris. Six missed extra points and six missed field goals this season, Chris, for a guy who they've had to try and talk themselves in down the stretch to continuing to have confidence in Greg the Leg.
Yeah, he's a long ways from being Legatron, man. It's just he's not the same guy that was out in L.A. It's just not. It's different. And the Cowboys have had some bad luck with some high-profile kickers, especially when it comes to trying to have postseason success. I was on the team with Kyle Vanderjagt, and that didn't work out for the Cowboys. Mike Vanderjagt, that didn't work out for the Cowboys either, and that was a high-profile acquisition as well. So this is one of those that you do worry about, that other phase of the game with special teams. And in this matchup with the 49ers, again, man, I come back to, I trust Kyle Shanahan to put his team in position to be successful and to play complementary football with all three phases working in concert. I just don't have that confidence when it comes to Mike McCarthy, and I don't feel like I'm alone in making that statement.
No, well, and an easy part of, I think, the way we assess that with Mike McCarthy, some of it is, like you mentioned, misses in situational football certainly going to be up there. The other part of it is we can always look at Mike McCarthy, and we never have to look much farther in the class picture to find a quarterback that we really trust to play at a high level. We have not had that. Kyle Shanahan has always had an excuse. Now, maybe going back to Atlanta, Matthew Stafford doesn't necessarily qualify, but he took Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl, and that is going to buy you grace for a long time until we start this clock on the Trey Lance meter. So that certainly going to be one of the matchups to watch heading into this weekend. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to more of yours. We're brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next, we have talked a lot of pressure. We will get our next guest's view on how he dealt with pressure heading into one of the biggest games of his entire life. We'll do that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We'll talk to Steelers wideout Ray-Ray McCloud. Find out where he was and how he was watching that Week 18 Sunday Night Football matchup between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Chargers that ended up being the reason they were able to make it into the playoffs here. Watching that game, dreading that tie out. Going to be interesting. We'll talk to Ray-Ray coming up in about 10 minutes here. But first, I have to take the temperature. Again, we're trying to get to know our teammates around here. And I am fascinated. This is a tweet that came from one of our teammates, ESPN Buccaneers reporter Jenna Lane, who does a great job. You've probably seen her all over Get Up, SportsCenter in the last couple of days, getting ready for Super Wildcard Weekend. I have no idea what prompted this tweet from her, Chris, and I have no idea if this stuff is even factually accurate or not, but she said it here with enough confidence to make me think so. How does this make you feel? By FDA standards, the Food Drug Administration, chocolate can have no more than 60 insect fragments per 100 grams. And the food dye used in Skittles, the red food dye, carminic acid, is actually made from the boiled bodies of crushed bugs. How does that make you feel, Chris? Because I'm not going to lie to you. That does not matter to me at all. If it still hits, I'm still good with it.
Yeah, but sometimes you just don't want to know how the sausage is made. And I feel like Jenna Lane took it to that territory. We didn't have to know that. I didn't need that information. I don't want to hear that about chocolate, the fact that the FDA has these specifications as to how they has to be manufactured. I don't want to know that, and I didn't want to know that about Skittles. One of my favorite things right now is the Skittles gummies. If you hadn't had them yet, you need to get on them. I'm putting you on game right there. But I didn't want to know that the coating for the Skittles gummies comes from the boiled bodies of insects. I didn't need to know that, Gojo. That's too much information.
See, this is where I always come down, Chris, and we heard me rant on this because, again, like I've been very closely tied to mayo now after the whole Duke's Mayo Bowl thing.
Which is disgusting.
Listen.
And Dionne Warwick said as much.
Yeah, no.
And everybody down in Australia.
I made a lot of
enemies. You might be at Djokovic status down there in Australia.
Put it on the poll. Mike Golic Jr. or Novak Djokovic, bigger enemy of Australia at this current point in time here. It's a legitimate toss-up, which is not great news for me in all this. But, Chris, I've pointed out to so many people on the mayo front, the things that people love, like aiolis and such, all have a mayo base in all of this. And so if you like that, but all of a sudden you freak out because you find out mayo's in it, what are we doing here? You like the way it tastes, and I like the way chocolate tastes. I love the way Skittles taste. And so if I find out there's a little bit of bugs in there, that just tells me, man, bugs taste better than I expected, and maybe I need to think a little bit more about the next time I'm caught in the wild looking at these because I didn't know bugs were out here that sweet. That's apparently a new thing I learned.
So you're going to start incorporating bugs into your diet? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Listen, as my dad used to say, damn near every time he ever accidentally swallowed a bug as a kid, that's just more protein.
Let me tell you what you never got to worry about at the Canty Family Cookout. Anything with bugs in it ever being served. You ain't got to worry about that, bro. Not going to happen. I can't meet you halfway on this one, Gojo. It is or it ain't, and you're on one side of the spectrum, and I'm on the other one, and there is not going to be a middle ground.
We're not on different sides. You said you like the way Skittles taste. Until
I just got that information, now I can't enjoy Skittles the way I used to. It's not going to happen.
I don't believe you. Renee, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say Mike's going to start putting bugs in his mayo now.
You know what? Honestly, would. I don't give a damn at this point.
That's kind of scary, bro.
What, you give me like a... You guys haven't like done the thing where you have like dried out crickets or anything like that?
Never. No. Never.
No. Man, you know what?
The only time we buy crickets is to go bass fishing, bro. That's it.
Point. Yeah, it's a great spot for them. But again,
nobody's buying crickets as a part of an appetizer for dinner. It's not happening.
See, this is also part of like peeling back the onion on this one. I did spend a number of my years, my life growing up in Arizona when I was a kid. And out there, you walk around all the time. I remember as a kid how much it threw me off. I was going into like a drugstore in Scottsdale, and they would have inside a piece of like Jell-O mold, for lack of a better term, dried out scorpion that you could eat as a candy in there. Like you just like you're out in the desert. That's how life goes down.
Yeah, no, I'm good, man.
A dried out scorpion. Good. I mean, I guess everybody's got their quirks, different regions of the country. Like, listen, you walk into a gas station in my mom's hometown of Utahville, South Carolina, spelled with an E, not a U, you can find some pickled pig feet at the counter when you're checking out. That's just what it is. Listen, a lot of people look at it strange because it looks funny in the jar. I love them. People look at me differently. That's okay. I'll accept the side eye, but I'll also enjoy the Pigfoot.
Listen, Chris, after my trip to Oxford, Mississippi this year to cover the Ole Miss Tulane football game, I will never knock anyone for trying something that they like at a gas station there. I have more meals at gas stations in Oxford this year than I have in my life before that. Fried chicken, ribs, beans, greens, all of them in there, and they were all fantastic. And so I found out that especially south of the Mason-Dixon, you can find yourself some great stuff at gas stations, Chris.
You're right, but I still stand firm that I am anti-gas station fried chicken. I still can't get down with that. Gas station pig feet, okay to do.
Wait, hold on. You're going to get gas station pig feet but not fried chicken?
Exactly. What? I know it sounds strange. It's weird, I know, but that's where I draw the line. Gas station pig feet, okay. Gas station fried chicken, not so much.
Gas station sushi, definitely not a go either.
Oh, absolutely not. I think that's unanimous, though, Renee.
Yeah, I mean, like, got to hear both sides. I've had sushi from the Detroit airport, all right? And that is no slight on that restaurant. But when you think sushi, the last place on earth you're going is, man, you know what? I got a long connection. I got a little bit of a layover in Detroit. Let me holler at, you know, at a California roll in the middle of that. No, probably not. Probably not.
Nah, not going to happen. Never.
I feel like we've accomplished
nope,
a lot
not
of this
to disrespect thing. DTW, though. No shade.
The McNamara Terminal has come a long way in my time in the world.
I don't want no trouble with nobody from Detroit. You know how they get down. It's Detroit versus everybody.
Listen, man, I have seen it. Jalen Rose, if you're listening right now, this is nothing against you or anyone from the D. We are all big fans of Detroit and your airport around here. It is a lovely experience here. Shout out to the P.F. Chang's in that main terminal. I have spent many days. I mean, again, since we've just gone fully off the rails on this one, the worst thing that the Detroit airport ever did in its entire life was get rid of. They had a high-end peanut butter and jelly sandwich store down at the long end of the McNamara Terminal.
That sounds outstanding.
Chris, you could get peanut butter, chocolate, and honey sandwich out there in the middle while you're waiting to go to South Bend, Indiana. It was glorious, and I don't know why they ever did it.
I would be absolutely down to try it until I heard what Jenna Lane said about chocolate. So, no.
That is.
Hey, if it slaps, man.
You know what? Thank you. Again, this is everyone's reminder here that if you love something and then you find out, listen, we can go through this with people. There's a lot of people in your life that you probably love, and eventually you find out, oh, there's something less than glamorous about them or something that they've done here, and you have to make a decision. Is there enough of that in them to go away? Or do you love the majority, and so you take that 10% bad? I am willing to love the majority of chocolate, even if it's got 60 insect fragments per 100 grams of chocolate. That's just me. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. If you came to this show for sports and you were weirded out by all the bug talk, I assure you, Ray McCloud, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, will be here in about 2 minutes to save us all from this and tell us what it's like to get ready for Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. He's going to do that after this word from Indeed. That one got away from us a little bit, not going to lie. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll also take your wild card player heading into the weekend. Or what the weirdest bug you ever ate was. Or the weirdest thing you've ever eaten from a gas station. It's all on the table at this point. Only God can judge me. It's Friday. Indeed, this new year, make the resolution to speed up your hiring process. Check out Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it simple to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Just sponsor a post, get matched instantly, and quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description are going to find you. Then you invite them to apply and get connected. So there's no more jumping from site to software to cell phone. Manage everything from your employer dashboard, where you can easily schedule interviews right on virtually. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Back with Ray McCloud from the Pittsburgh Steelers next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And as we get ready for Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL, we wanted to talk to somebody who is actually getting ready for one of those games here. So we head out to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Steelers wide receiver Ray McCloud, who joins us now here. Ray, how you doing?
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
No, we appreciate you coming on here, man. I mean, especially so, we saw the news that you are a new, proud new father, Ray McCloud, the fourth born on Christmas Eve. So let me start there. Like, getting ready for all this down the stretch of the season, how's the sleep schedule been with trying to be an NFL player?
Definitely tough, you know. Everybody has his differences, you know. But this one right now, for me, it's sleep during the day, stay up all night. That's the stage I'm in right now. And it's me and my girlfriend doing a great job, though, in the season. She knows I'm in the season, so sometimes in the middle of the night she won't wake me up. But it's been a fun experience, man. Great experience. Motivational.
Ray, speaking of staying up all night, after you guys took care of your business against my Ravens, you had to stay up all night and watch the Chargers-Raiders game to see what your playoff fate would be. What was it like watching that game going into overtime and really whittle down to the end of overtime?
It was crazy. Me and a few friends watched it, and just the game itself, whether it was a game for a playoff or regular season game, it was a game to watch. I think it was one of the best games all year. Most people say it was rigged, but it was definitely a game to watch. You know, just everything about it. From I had two former teammates, Renfro and Mike Williams, making plays out there and watching it, watching them make plays from series to series, and everything about it was just very, like, unique, you know. And for us to be in that position to where we're the only team that tied, and to a tie would be a reason that we couldn't go to the playoffs, and them being in that position in overtime of 2 seconds left, a timeout. And I think it's just God, you know, just everything about the situation. And then this being possibly been last year, winning at home, our last home game, and going to the Ravens, it was a rival game, going into overtime. Everything about it is just so unique, and you can't make that up, and you got to take advantage of the opportunities.
Were you more nervous at any point during your guys' game on Sunday, or during that overtime period where it looked like the Chargers or the Raiders may go for the tie?
The tie, definitely the tie. Because you had no control. You had no control of it. It's like you're there, but you're not there. So.
Ray, you guys are going to be the biggest underdog in wild card weekend history going into Arrowhead to play the Kansas City Chiefs. I know Ben Roethlisberger was playing coy with some of his comments around it earlier in the week. Deontay Johnson had something to say about it today. I'm just curious, what has been the mentality for this team going through this week of preparation for your playoff game?
To be the spark, you know. Everybody says the same thing about us being an underdog, but everybody in the building know that we can play with anybody and beat anybody. So, I mean, whoever the media portrays us, or we tell the media and kind of what we feel, we kind of answer questions the way answer the media's questions, if that makes sense. So it's like, y'all going to call us underdogs, so we're going to take that entitlement and go show y'all on Sundays or whatever day we play, Monday, Sunday, Saturday, whatever the case may be for the playoff run. But in that building, everybody knows we come to work every day to beat every team that we face that Sunday.
Yep.
And we got the capability of doing it. So that's the goal.
Kane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Steelers wideout Ray McCloud. And Ray, you've been around a few teams in the NFL. You got to Pittsburgh last year. Mike Tomlin, we've seen and talked so much about him never having a record below 500 in the NFL. When you got here, what was the difference that you saw in Mike Tomlin versus some of the other coaches that you've played for in your career?
Coach T, just probably the most upfront, honest coach I've ever been around. I mean, when I first got here, it was more like the team meeting was about what I need to see from this person, that person, what I'm seeing from this person, step it up, this person. Sometimes he'll call you out, sometimes he'll praise you, but you'll know what you're getting into. You know what he want to see, and that's hard to find in the profession that we play. Sometimes you go to work thinking like, oh, am I doing okay? Am I doing – Coach T lets you know. If you're not doing okay, he's going to let you know. If you're doing a good job and keep it up, he's not going to make your head big, but he's going to keep you where you need to be at and make you into a great player you need to be. And playing with Coach T and a coach that has fun with you, you don't find that everywhere.
Ray, when it comes to stuff off the field, so oftentimes the negative news around NFL players travels fast and gets publicized the most. But I wanted to give you the floor to talk about your nonprofit to raise awareness for learning disabilities and sleep disorders.
Definitely wanted to empower that in a student-athlete world. You know, I was a student-athlete myself, and luckily I had a mother and a father that was just always there for me in the student area, because, you know, sometimes you have all these athletes that lose focus of school, and that messes up their career of playing sports in high school, college, whatever the case may be. And for me, that was possible because I had a learning disability where I had ADHD really bad. And then on top of that, it was a sleeping disorder called hypersomnia. And those two together didn't mesh well. And sometimes I couldn't focus at all in class, or I would sleep, not even knowing it. It was just something that was just there. And I know a lot of kids go through the same thing in class, can't focus, don't really care about school, even though they know the stuff. They just can't concentrate. They can't hone in everything that's coming their way, and they don't even know what they have or what they're going through. And I want to make that awareness and empower those that have trouble in school, but don't let that school affect don't let what you want most affect what you want at the moment.
Absolutely. It's great stuff, Ray, trying to bring other people along with you as you've been able to overcome and succeed and have so much success. A national champion and a wide receiver in the NFL. Ray McLeod and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be taking on the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. Ray, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. Best of luck this weekend. We are all looking forward to watching you guys.
God bless, and thank you so much.
Again, Steelers wideout, national champion at Clemson, Ray McLeod, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline here. A lot of great stuff from Ray. A lot of great stuff on the phone lines right now. We see your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. From eating dried scorpions to the X Factor, the wild card player for your team heading into the postseason. We'll get to it all next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio reminding you, listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, the 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career, brought to you by State Farm and available wherever you get your podcasts here. I genuinely don't know, Chris, what you're going to do when the Man in the Arena is over.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find some new content, man. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to have to get into some new shows. I got some prospects on deck, but definitely going to have to find something because Man in the Arena has captivated my attention for the last 2 or 3 months.
Tom Brady getting ready to add chapters to that this weekend.
Still going. It's essentially a Last Dance type of documentary, like what they did with Michael Jordan, but Tom Brady's actually still playing. That's insane.
It's wild. It is wild to think about as we get ready for Super Wild Card Weekend here, Chris, that there could, in theory, be a player on the Eagles that's watching this documentary, that's watching Man in the Arena getting ready to game plan for Tom Brady right now.
Isn't it, though? It really is strange, man. And yet we still want to discount Tom Brady and what he's capable of doing. All you've heard all week long, he doesn't have enough weapons. I don't think he's better be on upset alert for the Philadelphia Eagles. Not sure if they're going to be able to overcome all of the injuries and the loss of Antonio Brown. Everybody doubts Tom Brady. Our own Dominique Foxworth said Tom Brady's won his last championship. It's not going to happen anymore. I just don't understand why everybody is in a hurry to doubt a guy that has 7 championships, been to the Super Bowl 10 times, and the most playoff wins in NFL history. Why do you want to doubt that dude?
I mean, and he's led the NFL. This is the number one passing offense in the NFL this year. He's not getting worse.
He's leading the league. He led the league in passing and passing touchdowns, too.
It's terrifying. Dominique said the thing that terrified us all. So we know Tom Brady's going to be a big part of that game. We talked about some of the defensive players, Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, Lavonte David in the middle of that defense, as the wild cards, the guys that could affect the outcome of this game, outside of some of the quarterbacks that we've heard. We want to hear from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, on your wild card player heading into the weekend. Let's go to Sean in Illinois. Sean, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Who's your wild card?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. First of all, big shout-out to Utahville. I've lived all around South Carolina, including Monk's Corner. So big shout-out to
Utahville. That's what's up, Sean. That's what's up. You know what it is.
So my wild card is for Cincinnati if they don't pay attention to him, and that's Hunter Renfrow of the Raiders. The kid was an option quarterback in high school, walked on to Clemson, and in my opinion, he's probably one of the top 5 with route running and hands in the NFL right now. So if they don't keep up with Hunter Renfrow, they're going to be in trouble.
It's incredible, Chris. I had someone send me this note about Hunter Renfrow after I joined Mina's podcast yesterday. Hunter Renfrow from Derek Carr on third down has basically been automatic. 0.39 expected points added per play and a 117.2 passer rating. Damn near perfect targeting him on third down. So he's been a nightmare, Chris. One of the best route runners we've seen in the league and certainly been a force for them.
Well, that's why they call it third and Renfrow, right? but the emergence of Zay Jones in the last couple of games is also going to be a factor in this. And so knowing that teams are going to try to bracket Hunter Renfrow in the slot, especially in situational football, look for Zay Jones to be a big factor, too, outside of the numbers as a big play threat for Derek Carr as well.
Zay Jones, also the leader in wholesome content. Did you see that video from the sideline where he was mic'd up in the last game where he had that moment with Raiders interim head coach Rich Bisaccia where he just stops him and he goes, "Hey, Rich, you're doing a great job." I was like, damn, that is like the emotionally healthiest thing I've seen said in a football sideline in I don't know how long. So Zay Jones winning the people over with that one here. Let's go to Dion in Louisiana. You're on with Candy Angola Jr. Who's your wild card?
Appreciate y'all taking my call. I listen every day. My wild card is the Eagles O-line, but specifically Jason Kelce, Landon Dickerson, and Herbig. We gotta take care of that interior on the Bucs D-line. Vita Vea, just got to try to eliminate him as best as we possibly can. Other than that, I just want to say Jeff Stallen. I would say he's probably the best positional coach in the NFL. And a take on the bug thing here. I've eaten a live cricket before, and it wasn't really too bad. So I bit into it a couple of times, swallowed it, and then the leg was still tickling my throat as I swallowed.
Dion, that don't sound like a ringing endorsement, bro. That doesn't make me want to run out and eat a live cricket. I'm just saying.
I wasn't in the best state of mind.
Hey, you know what?
And that explains it. There we go.
Say no more on that one. I mean, listen, who among us hadn't gotten had a little good time with the boys and decided to go cricket eating right there? And I mean, listen, like, I don't know. Listen, we boil lobsters live, all right? Like a little a cricket tickling your throat. That's not the worst thing in the world.
So says you. There's no way that I'm going to sign up to eat a cricket, live or covered in chocolate. It ain't going to happen.
Chocolate covered's unfair. Like, you put anything in chocolate, I'm basically going to eat that.
Well, as I've apparently seen with what you do with Oreos and mayonnaise. So, yeah, I'm not surprised by it. I'm just continuing to be appalled by your behavior.
I'm glad you brought up the mayonnaise. Let's go to Dave in Canada, who apparently wants to defend me and the mayonnaise. Dave, the floor is yours, my friend.
Gojo, Canty, love the show. I'm not trying to start a war within the Commonwealth here. I just want to address, a country that consumes Vegemite. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Vegemite. It is a spreadable, disgusting item. I feel like they don't have a leg to stand on to come at you about mail.
Dave, I couldn't agree more here. The baseless accusations I've got for anyone that missed it after the Duke's Mayo Bowl where I was eating Oreos with mayo, Australia decided to write some article saying I was the reason for the downfall of America and the reason that we are beyond saving. And Dave's absolutely right, Chris. There's no reason for them to be the ones throwing stone from their very glass down under house.
Yeah, the Vegemite thing looks very disgusting. I wasn't familiar with it until you actually brought it up. But yeah, they don't seem like they're in a position or they have the moral high ground when it comes to being the authority on what you do with condiments and food. I'll just leave it at that. But either way, I mean, they're both equally disgusting, Vegemite and what you did with the mayonnaise at the Duke Mayonnaise Bowl.
I said this to Dionne Warwick on Twitter as she attempted to have me put on paid leave here. I wish I could apologize, but I refuse to apologize for something that made me feel just fine up there. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It tasted fine. 888-SAY-ESPN. Get at us with your X Factor, your wild card player heading into Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL, or some weird bug that you ate along the way here. Coming up next, though, as we get ready for this weekend, hear exactly what the NFL's wanted, the expanded season, the expanded field. We'll take a look and zero in on one player we believe getting ready to add more to their legacy than anyone else, possibly next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.